Second Peter chapter 1, toward the end of your Bible, if you have the book format. Second Peter chapter 1, and then if you would join me once you get your hands free, or as you're continuing to find, as we put the words on the screen of this confession that we typically do every Sunday before the message. So if you agree with it, and maybe you're not familiar with it yet, but if you agree, we invite you to join us as we make this confession together. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. Our faith is the same faith that Peter and the other apostles had. It's faith in Jesus. He said, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only way any of us are righteous, is that by faith we receive his righteousness. Then verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So as we grow in our relational knowledge, that's not just intellectual. It's growing, we get to know the Lord. It's growing in our relational knowledge of the Lord that grace and peace can be multiplied to us. Then he goes on in verse 3 and says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, all that we need, we have access to what we need to live a godly life, again, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So it's this whole series, the last few weeks, today's the fourth message of really just growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and how we do so. So let me read the last two verses of this book, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Once again, it says, you therefore, beloved, aren't you glad you're loved? Since you know this beforehand, in other words, you know that there will be a falling away. You know that God is not just waiting to return, but he's being long-suffering and merciful because he doesn't want anyone to perish. And because you know some are twisting the word of God to excuse sin, but they're doing it to their own destruction. We're seeing that in the church here in America today. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So how do we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord? If you look back to chapter 1, I'll center on a few of these verses there. 2 Peter chapter 1, but just a quick review. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord by growing in God's word, prayer, worship, and fellowship. That's what we've shared over the last 3 weeks. And then if you look at verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Would you say all diligence? All diligence. So in other words, we have to put some effort here. This doesn't just happen automatically. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. In other words, what should emerge out of our faith in God is virtue. That word virtue means moral excellence. It's translated that way in some translations. So add to your faith moral excellence, and to moral excellence knowledge. Again, that's not just head knowledge, it's understanding. Add to your knowledge virtue knowledge, understanding, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness or devotion to God, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Eight virtues here of Christ. For if these are yours and abound, in other words, if they're growing, if you're increasing in these, You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take the time this morning and center on those two bookends of those eight virtues, faith and love. So grow in God's word, grow in prayer, grow in worship, grow in fellowship, and grow in faith and love. Grow in faith and love. Remember, we must be diligent to add or grow in all of these virtues. And you say, well, Brother Rocky, I thought we're supposed to be working on outreach. I know I was. Remember, I gave you like an example of my hand. In fact, would you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? If you just go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'll join in there in a moment. I use the hand as an example of the thumb representing Scripture, how we grow in God's word, because your thumb can touch all of your other fingers. And God's word instructs us in all of these other areas. God's word teaches us how to pray effectively, teaches us what spiritual worship is, it teaches us how to have holy and maintain a godly fellowship, and it instructs us in outreach or sharing our faith. You say, but why didn't you say grow in outreach? All I can tell you is I was planning on it, and I didn't have peace about it. And I just kept looking at the scripture, kept focusing on this text in 2 Peter. And as I saw faith and love, I just believe I had peace about saying, if we grow in faith and love inspire outreach. Because we care and we believe God and we want to reach others. So to grow in faith and love, I believe, is also to grow in outreach. And as we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, we read about these virtues, but it also said back there in 2 Peter that God will give us an abundant entrance into his eternal kingdom. So there's blessings in this life, and there's blessings forever in the life to come. And we have to be diligent to add. Again, it doesn't just happen. I quoted Adrian Rogers a couple weeks ago in one of the messages. Let me try to get it right. I'll paraphrase it. But he said, a real mark of maturity is doing what you don't feel like doing when you don't feel like doing it. Amen. A real mark of maturity, I don't feel like praying. All right. You don't feel like it, but you need to. Go ahead, pray anyway. I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like, all right, but you're growing. Don't you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and want all these blessings and benefits? Sometimes we have to do what we don't feel like doing if we want to grow. So to grow in faith and love. So let me give you these. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says this. We are bound, 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Do you see how faith and love were both growing in this congregation? So today I'd like to share three actions that I believe will help us grow in faith and love, and they're back in the first letter, 1 Thessalonians. So if you have the book format, you might just be able to turn back one page. And here's how I believe we grow scripturally in faith and love. Number one is we have to receive God's word. Receive God's word. And I'll read the scripture to you in just a moment. It's 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And I liken receiving God's word to eating, because that's what the Bible compares it to. There, in one case, actually two that's coming to my mind now, the Lord told two prophets, here's a scroll, eat it. Now, I don't know if that was symbolically just to give us a picture or what, but even the prophet Jeremiah, he said, your words were found and I ate them, and your word became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So here's how it words it in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because you received the word of God, which you heard from us. You welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who do what? Who believe. What did the author of Hebrews say? There was an entire generation of Israelites, of God's people, and he says the word preached to them did not profit them because they didn't mix it in faith. So it's not just enough to hear the word. receiving is receiving and taking it in and welcoming it and believing it. So in order to grow in faith, like this church did in Thessalonica, that they received the word. It wasn't your truth and my truth. It was the truth. It was God's truth. And they received it that way. So the word blessed them. They received it. And I just, in my heart, I know that we need the nutrition of God's word in order to strengthen our faith and strengthen our spirit and feed our faith in God. I've said it before, there is no spiritual growth outside of God's word. So we have to receive it. And when we hear it like you're doing now, when we read it, when we think on it, it's like we're eating it. We're taking it in and we're digesting it. It's getting on the inside of us. So we have to receive God's word. We got to eat. You hungry? I hope you come in hungry sometimes in service, but I hope you never leave hungry. I hope God would allow me to give you scripture and feed you spiritually. So not only do we need to receive God's word and eat to grow in faith and love, we also need to do God's word. In other words, we need to exercise to grow in faith and love. So receive God's word, do God's word. Would you say that with me? Receive God's word, do God's word. So it's eat and exercise. And then if you turn back to chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse 5. The scripture says this, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." I said we need the word of God to grow, but we need the Spirit of God to help us do the word of God. We can't do these, we can't keep these commandments on our own. I believe God purposely set it up that way. You say, well, I'm doing pretty good on my own. Okay. Let me hear you tell your enemy, that one who's getting on your nerves, coming against you, how much you love them. As Jesus told us, love our enemy. Go ahead and try that one in your own human strength. See how? Forgive that person who offended you. Just let it go. You don't need the Holy Spirit. No, we need God to help us. So he said, the word came, but the Holy Spirit was, you need him too, because we need him to help us. It's not just in word. The gospel is in power because the Spirit of God is on it. If we receive it that way. See, faith is like a muscle in that it must be fed and exercised to grow. That's how those Thessalonians were able to grow in faith and love, because they received the word. And the Bible calls one exercise meditation. What that is thinking on it, and what else? And muttering it, speaking it, confess it. They go together. That's what meditation means. So we think on scripture and confess it, speak it to ourselves, pray it, sing it, so that we do the word. The purpose of meditation is to do the word, not just think it. But we have to think it to keep it in our mind, to be able to do God's word. Could we put this scripture back up on 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, where it says their faith grew exceedingly and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other? It says this, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds to each other." Do you have the next verse? Verse 4 says this, watch this. Or if you have it right there, I'll read it. Or I was just going to put it on the screen. So here we go. "So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." We not only need to feed our faith, but when oppositions come and obstacles come and trials come and tests come and persecutions come, then we do the word and our faith grows. Do you see how they're coupled together there? They were going through a hard time, but because they had fed their faith with God's word, they received God's word, they had the spiritual strength to do God's word by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, their faith and love grew exceedingly. Grow in faith and love. Does that make sense? So we receive God's word, we do God's word, and then number three, we share God's word. So how do we grow in faith and love? We receive God's word, do God's word, and then we share God's word. Because, and I'll read you the scriptures there, and that's still right there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. As we grow in Christ's likeness, that's really what it's about in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. It's growing in Christ's likeness. It's growing closer to him and growing more like him. Don't you know that if we grow in Christ's likeness, we're going to share his heart? What did Jesus say he came to do? He said he came to seek and to save the lost, right? He came to seek and save the lost. Thank God he did. Thank God he came to seek and save the lost. This is what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, that same chapter and beginning in verse 8, where we left off. It says, I'm sorry, you know what? I didn't finish that, did I? Let me go back to verse 6. This was back with the other one on doing God's word. It says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having, again, received the word in much affliction, but yet with joy of the Holy Spirit. So they received the word, they were following godly examples, and then verse 7 says, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. In other words, as we receive God's word, as we do God's word, we become examples to others. Not perfect, but good examples as we follow Jesus. And that's what we are to do. Then that leads into sharing God's word. So we eat, we exercise, and then we evangelize. All right? Receive God's word, do God's word, share God's word. Would you say that with me? Receive God's word, do God's word, share God's word. So again, eat, exercise, evangelize. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Did you catch that? The word has gone out from this church. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Aren't you glad Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come? Whatever the timing may be of the Lord's return and rapture, here's a bottom line to give you peace. The church of Jesus Christ is the bride of Christ, and we will never be the object of his wrath. Satan's wrath, yes. The world's wrath, yes, but never Christ's wrath. We're delivered from the wrath, and we've been brought into favor if you're in Christ, if you know the Lord. I'm glad Jesus didn't see us as an enemy. He saw us as sinners in need of his forgiveness and new life. Now, let me ask you this, just between you and the Lord, do we, I'll include myself, do we see sinners with compassion or condemnation? Do we see sinners with compassion or condemnation? Make no doubt, we are to hate sin. Scripture commands us. But we are to love the person. It's easy to get that mixed up. I said, we're to hate the sin. That includes our own. Is that right? Grow in faith and love. Grow in compassion. Grow with a heart for the Lord. And they go together because we need faith in God to love like God. We need faith in God to love like God. We are his ambassadors. We are to live a life that honors the Lord because we are his witnesses to a lost and dying world. We are to be the examples. So we need to be faithful followers of the Lord. Would you turn back to Colossians? I just have two more scriptures to give you this morning. Colossians chapter 4. In fact, it might be just on the same page like mine or the opposite page if you have the book format. And before I read these verses, Colossians chapter 4, I'll read those verses in just a moment. As I was preparing for this message, I was both convicted and challenged. I pray for people who don't know the Lord to be saved, but this is for me now. I'm telling you what I believe is in my heart. I believe God challenged me and convicted me that I need to pray with more faith in God to do what he is able to do. Not just say a prayer, but to pray in faith and expect God to move. I stand on the chain-breaking, miracle-making, powerful name of Jesus. On the body-raising, prodigal-saving, powerful name of Jesus. Thank God. So to pray in faith and to believe God to do what he already wants to do. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. The Bible says that God wants us all to come to the knowledge of the truth and to be saved. So we don't have to wonder if God wants to save a person, and we don't have to wonder if God is able to save a person. No one is beyond God's reach. His compassion, his mercy can reach us wherever we are. In fact, we all are in need of mercy. Lord, help me to not qualify sin in the sense that, oh, look at what they're doing. I would never do that. Lord, help me to say, but for the grace of God, there go I. And if I keep that in mind, it'll help me to be a little less condemning and less judgmental. Again, we're to hate sin. We don't endorse what is wrong. But may God give us a heart of compassion for the people who are bound by that sin. Because outside of Christ, they're going to live without him and one day die without him. And we don't want that for anyone. So to grow in faith and grow in love. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant or watchful in it with thanksgiving. Prayer is so important when it comes to reaching other people because I can prepare a message just like Elijah can prepare the wood and rebuild an altar, but Elijah can't produce the fire. He had to call on the Lord to produce the fire. And we can pray, and we are to pray, and we are to prepare so that we can point others to Jesus, and we're to share the word, and I have a responsibility to share the word with you, to equip you to do the work of ministry. But I am a man, and I'm limited. I can do my part, and I'm to do it faithfully, but I can't change one heart. I can't transform one mind. I cannot transform someone from sin to salvation. I can't bring a wayward prodigal home. I can't strengthen the believers in the faith, but God can, and I can pray, and I can be available for him to use me. So to pray earnestly and to pray watchfully, Lord, where are you working? Where are you moving right now? Because we need to pray. That's how we pray effectively, is we see God working, and even when I don't see it, because remember what happened when Moses went into Pharaoh and said, let my people go? He said, oh, you got that much time on your hands that you can just come up with all this stuff you want me to? All right, here we go. You got to make the same number and quota of bricks. But now since you have so much time on your hand, I'm going to give you a little more exercise. Go out in the field and draw your own straw to make them. Have you ever prayed and it looked worse? But God, it may be just stirring up something there and working to accomplish his will. So we got to keep praying. That's why he says continue earnestly and just persevere in prayer. So then he goes on in verse 3 and says this, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. See, even though he was under arrest, the word of God is not chained. And he said, just go ahead and pray for an open door anyway, verse 4, that I may make it, the word of God, manifest as I ought to speak. Lord, help me to pray in faith for God to break strongholds so that people realize their need for Jesus. That's what I pray, is that Lord, in his mercy, would reveal the need. If someone is not in fellowship with the Lord or not saved, it's because the Bible says the God of this world has blinded their minds and blinded their hearts to see the light of the gospel. So we pray against those strongholds, and we pray for the light of the gospel to drive back the darkness of sin. So he says, pray in faith for God. This is what kind of challenged me a little bit. I want to pray in faith every day. God, give me an opportunity, and then give me the boldness that I could go ahead and share the word with someone. So to pray in faith, verse 5 says this, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. I want to read you that verse from the New Living Translation, if they have it on the screen. It words it like this. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Live wisely among those who don't know the Lord, because they're watching us, aren't they? Live wisely. Again, we're not going to be perfect, but let's be real. Let's be genuine. Let's be quick to repent when we do wrong and try to make that thing right and represent Jesus. And then verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. Let's pray in faith for God to give us grace in our speech and grace in our thumbs. Y'all know what I'm talking about with that? I'm like this on my phone. The one finger push, the index like that. You look at my daughter, with the thumbs and the children. Lord, give us grace, seasoned with salt on Facebook. Grace, seasoned with salt on whatever, I don't even know what they are now, X, Twitter, y'all get the idea, right? Lord, help us to faithfully represent you. Grace and salt to share his words. In other words, salt makes it attractive. There is an appeal there. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's not be those who would turn people away by our maybe a bad attitude or whatever, or indulging in sin that we know is not honoring to God. Let's live right before the Lord and be his faithful witnesses. Don't you want to grow in faith and love? I'm going to close one last scripture if you just want to write it down. Jesus commissioned us to make disciples, to disciple people. The first step is to believe God's word with our heart and confess Jesus as our sinless, crucified, and resurrected Lord. That's the first step of what it means to be a disciple or follower of Jesus. I always want to emphasize this because my heart is grieved at the state of the church. That I'm not condemning the church. I'm not putting people down. I'm concerned. We have people in the church. I'm not the judge. Only God is. But we have people in the church who may have had a religious experience and an emotional experience and maybe even repeated a prayer, but have never been born again. There was never the drawing and transformative work of the Holy Spirit. That's why I said it always has to ultimately come back to God. We can't change our own hearts. Now, we can follow the Lord when he draws us. But if he's not drawing, we can repeat a prayer every day of our lives. And there's not a heart change. May the Lord help us I'm not trying to get anyone to doubt your salvation. I'm simply saying, make sure you're saved. Because you've been drawn by God's Spirit, experience that conviction of unbelief, and whether you're 5 or 85, you turn to Jesus as Lord. Then there is a transformation, and then God begins a work of his grace in us that he'll continue until we see him face to face, and we're like him, for we shall see him as he is. Thank God. Let me close with these verses. Acts chapter 2, let me read them to you if you want to write them down. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. Please look for these five, okay? God's word, prayer, worship, fellowship, and outreach. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That just means teaching. So there's God's word. And fellowship, there's fellowship. in the breaking of bread and in prayer. So there's God's word, fellowship, and prayer. Then if you drop down to verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Verse 47, praising God, there's worship, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. There's your outreach. All five in those sections of Scripture grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by growing in God's word, prayer, worship, fellowship, and I'll say faith and love. In other words, growing in outreach. So let me close with this. Will you ask God to give you his heart for lost people who don't yet know the Lord? To give you his heart? And then will you ask God to give you opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with them? If you will, I thank you for joining me because that's what I want to do. Lord, give me your heart. Help me not to be so quick to condemn. Help me to see people in their need and to pray for them and look for opportunity to share the gospel, because ultimately, the gospel is the life-changing message that transforms our heart forever, and we all need gospel. Gospel grace, we all need the Lord. Can we stand together? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Receive God's word, do God's word, share God's word. Eat, exercise, evangelize. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come before you right now. Thank you, Lord. I want to just take a moment right now and thank you that someone invited my family to church. I want to thank you for the in Victoria. I want to thank you for coming to Hopewell and Wavy, inviting my mom to church. Lord, I thank you for saving me. Thank you for even when I was out of fellowship with you and your family, you didn't give up on me and you drew me back. Thank you, Lord. Help us now to be your ambassadors and sharers of the good news. Lord, may you give us your heart. If you agree with this, would you just repeat this after me? Would you say, Father, thank you for saving me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to pay for my sin. And I thank you that you came back to life. And with resurrection power, you drew me and saved me. Now I ask you to give me your heart to reach the lost, to see sinners with compassion and know that I'm no better. I've just found you. And I thank you. Help me to have boldness, wisdom, and grace to share the good news with everyone I can. In Jesus' name, amen.